Hello, and welcome to the Indian American Experience podcast. I'm your host, Bindiya Parikh. Indian Americans are a group that defies being painted in one stroke, be it in political or ideological leanings, definition of identity, or perception of their place in society. So join me in listening to the journeys and experiences of a diverse group of Indian Americans, or Desis, through lighthearted, casual conversations and see if we can find common threads, maybe shed some myths, and hear some interesting stories. Let's get started. My guest today is Reena Dang Pichamathi. Hi, Reena, and welcome.
Hello, Bindiya. Such a pleasure.
Now, just hang tight as I quickly read out your very impressive resume. Reena migrated to the U.S. when she was 6 years old in 1971. Not only was the country new to her, but this was also the first time she lived with her parents. She spent the first 6 years with her maternal grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins in a joint family near Delhi. Reena has been a software engineer, a businesswoman, technical training specialist, and a career mentor. But her favorite thing is being mom to her two girls. And you'll find more details about Reena in the show notes. Well, that's an impressive resume, Reena.
Oh, thanks so much.
And even before we talk about your accomplishments, let me ask you, the first 6 years of your life growing up in the lap of lots of family, but without your parents, what was that like?
So, you know, what had happened was when my parents got married, within 6 months, my dad had a near fatal car accident. And so for that reason, my grandmother on my mom's side said, you know what, you take care of him, I'll take care of Reena when I was born. And also my grandmother was so forward thinking. My mom always loved to study. So she said, you know what, you do your PhD that you've always wanted to do, because she felt in her heart that she never wanted her to be dependent on anybody. She was very modern thinking and forward thinking. And mom always loved to learn. So I lived with my grandmother and the joint family for the first 6 years of my life, while, you know, my father got rehabilitated, my mother finished her PhD, and they lived a couple of miles away. So they would pop in and say hello, and they were there, but I didn't really live with them till I came to the US.
Wow, that's so impressive and in many ways unconventional. But then a joint family was the conventional way.
Yes.
Parents' generation. And I often wonder about that mixed blessing of a joint family, which was the norm earlier, but now it's since changing. And, you know, there may have been downsides to that, but I wonder if at the end of the day, the benefits of that outweigh the downsides, right?
I cannot see any negatives to it at all. For me, it was all an upside, in the sense that I always say I had four mothers. I had my biological mother, and then I had my nani, my grandmother. I had my masi and my chachi, who were all, you know, took care of me. And so they all had very specific roles on my interaction with them. And so I feel incredibly loved and incredibly blessed to have had four mothers.
Yeah.
And then to have all these cousins who I'm, you know, incredibly close to, who are still in India, and so many uncles and aunts and cousins. It was an incredible blessing.
I can see that. I think for the children, and I, you know, obviously you and I, we're raising our kids here. I definitely think our kids miss out on that aspect. I mean, the downside that people talk about is maybe you put a whole bunch of adults together under one roof, and that can be a tricky thing to maneuver. But for the children and the family, absolutely. I think it's so wonderful just to get all that love.
And I think it was so part of the joint culture, was so part of the fabric of India in those times, in the 60s and 70s, that I think everybody was so adjusting and so accommodating to each other and respectful of each other. So it made it work. I mean, at least as a child of 6 years, I just saw a lot of harmony. I have a lot of great memories. And I think it taught me to also be accommodating and adjustable and giving that's where it came from.
That's a huge asset. And one of my favorite things to ask is, what do you recognize as truly Indian values? And you just said it, just our adaptability. And I'm sure if I asked you, you would come up with more. But just to go back to how growing up around joint families and aunts and uncles, how amazingly that molds you in a way that you become giving and generous and adjusting. Now raising your children here, is that something that you think they missed out on?
Absolutely. I really do feel that. I feel they could have benefited from a lot of that, but it's a different time, it's a different place. And we tried to bring as much of that into it, but it was a little bit harder just because most of our family, some of them live in New Jersey and we get together quite often, but most of them are either in India or in Boston, upstate New York, and all over the Texas, the rest of the US. So we get together for these big family things, which is great. But to have what I had, which I thought was wonderful, they did not have. So pros and cons of both sides. There were things they had. They got all that attention from us, which was, I think, great for them too. You know, all our mine and my husband's attentions were all towards the kids. So that in itself, you know, hopefully helped in some way.
Sure. Serena, now tell me a little bit about your latest avatar as a mentor. Tell me how you thought about that and what does that entail?
So basically that just kind of sort of landed on my lap. And it was right in the beginning of COVID. I had retired from my career and it was January 2020 and was just wanted to take some time off to figure out what I wanted to do next and also just to re-energize a little bit. And COVID came along in March 2020, mm-hmm. 2 months later. And during that time, I happened to be having conversations with different people, and they were saying these were people in underprivileged communities who were noticing that their children, their siblings were really impacted by not going to school. And young women were finding it hard also. So to navigate through some of the isolation mm-hmm. of COVID. So I had so much time on my hands and, you know, I had mentored, taught, tutored in the past in college and throughout. So I said, you know, I'm available. So I started doing Zooms. And it started initially with just teaching math and science to young kids in middle school. Then it went down to, I hear about some women who needed help with their careers. And, you know, I had done years of the business where I was helping people find jobs and doing resumes and all that stuff. So I started helping women since it was a quiet time. I said, this is a great time for people to build their resumes, to build their interview skills. And I had the time to do that and work with some women. I come fortunately from a family of very strong women. And that's been inspiring for me in my own career, in my own life. And so this could be an opportunity and the time to kind of give back what so many have given me. And there are different things like helping immigrants going towards citizenship in this country, learning the language better, trying to pass their citizenship exams, et cetera. So that's kind of what I've been working on, and it's been a pleasure.
That's very noble. And like you said, you come from a family of strong women, and that inspired you. Do you also attribute this kind of thinking, the generosity, uplifting other people? How much would you attribute that to the Indian culture, your Indian values as a part of your upbringing?
Absolutely. I was so fortunate to have some amazing elders in my life who have guided me through this journey. You know, my parents have always been such giving people. And in the Boston area, they've been community leaders all through, even now in their late 80s. They do so much and give so much. And they've also been so instrumental in bringing the Indian and American community together, which I am so incredibly proud of.
That is.
And, you know, and helped give scholarships to blind girls in India for college and so many other things. Plus, my grandmother I grew up with in the first 6 years of my life, on a daily basis, she was so giving, whether any woman that would land up on her doorstep, you know, a mother crying that she didn't have money for her daughter's wedding, or, you know, she would take her own gold necklace off and give it to her. And, or, you know, other women who would come and they didn't have enough food, and she would fill up their bag with wheat and rice. And then it was so inspiring when I got married to have a mother-in-law who was so compassionate and had so much empathy, that she lived in the north and the south of India, and no matter where she lived, in her courtyard in front of her house, she would gather all the poor girls and teach them how to read and write, which was not accessible to them ever. So it's been wonderful to have these great influences. But I think being an Indian person has a lot to do with it, though there are a lot of great people who are doing great things all over the world. But for me personally, I was so influenced by the Indian culture of, you know, looking beyond yourself and helping others and giving it back. That was important and still continues to be important.
Absolutely. And I do see you embody that spirit and paying it forward. So, while on the same subject, but looking at it from a different lens, this is what you had at home, the inspiration you got from your parents and your upbringing. And I think we've touched upon this in our conversations that culturally, too, it was a very richly Indian culture. Did you grow up watching a lot of Amitabh Bachchan movies? And
Yes, for
did
sure.
you?
We went to Indian classical concerts, Ravi Shankar, Amjad Ali Khan, Zakir Hussain all the time. We watched Bollywood Amitabh movies all the time. And my parents organized a lot of events. We were the first few Indians in Boston. So my parents organized a lot of events in Boston for the Indian culture and to also promote and kind of create a synergy between American and Indian communities. They did a lot of that. So, yes, we did a lot of Indian things at home on a regular basis. But I'm so glad that my parents also exposed me to so much of the American culture, because they said there was so much to learn from that as well.
So, with all this happening growing up in the suburbs of Boston, how much did being of your Indian origin define your identity? And I would even further ask, as you were viewed, was your Indian heritage viewed in a more conspicuous way than you would have even liked? Or how did you feel about that?
You know, when we first came to America, like I said, there are very few Indians here in the 70s. My father would actually cross the road if he saw another Indian person and invite them home. So we were part of an American community that was extremely loving and very open. We migrated and lived in a town, Lexington, Massachusetts, which was an educated town of people who really appreciate family and education. And it was a diverse, our street was such a diverse street. We had an Italian family in the front, then to the left of them was an English family, to the left was from Norway, to the front of us was American, and we were Indian. And so it was a very diverse community to live on. So that all influenced me. So being Indian, I was always a very proud Indian. And the values that it brought into my life. I was always, until today, I'm very proud. But I also am a very proud American. And I love all the values that I have also grown up with. And then everything else I learned from the international community I grew up around. So I feel like there's so much more in common than there is differences. I've always felt that. But at the core has been my Indian values that I learned from my parents, which was to be respectful of others, to be giving. When somebody's a guest in your home, you treat them with love and respect. and to share your culture, to be proud of it. It's all part of who I am and who I grew up to be.
That's wonderful. So moving on a little bit from your childhood to your youth, you're married. Do you want to tell your listeners how you met your husband and a little bit more about him? Did he grow up in India or here? Share what you like.
Sure. My husband and I, we met in college. I was a sophomore. He was a freshman. He was a year younger than me. We were both in computer science and we hit it off. He grew up in India till he was about 17 and then he came to study here. And so that's how we met and we hit it off right from the beginning. And we got married 5 years later and we moved to New Jersey and had two daughters. And it's been wonderful. What's interesting about our relationship, though, is I grew up here and I was brought up with a strong Indian culture of music and all that stuff. And so I grew up listening to a lot of Indian music and a lot of doing a lot of Indian things. Whereas in India, he grew up listening to so much American music and, you know, having a very global view on things. So when we got together, it was so funny. It's he's taught me and I've listened from him all the wonderful American music. And I've actually opened him up to Indian music.
That is so wonderful. And I think, I suspect that as unusual as that sounds, it may not be unique to you because I grew up in India and I grew up listening to a lot of European and American music. And because Indian music was all around me, you know, I kind of accepted that and moved on. And this was the more exotic, the more attractive part of the culture. And you alluded to the global international way of looking at things. That is very much, interestingly, a part of growing up in India. Being married, obviously, we absorb each other's learnings and experiences. But in raising your kids, the diversity of backgrounds that you and your husband had, how did that play into how you raised your kids?
So with the kids, we wanted them not to be confused in any way. So we definitely did bring some Indian culture into our lives and stuff, but we wanted them to be proud of their American heritage also. But I think they're a great mix of both.
And, you know, in my just mulling over the subject and thinking about the questions, I realize that when we say Indian culture and values, it's actually two different things.
Yeah.
Values is what you alluded to, generosity and all the other things we just discussed. And culture is something perhaps more palpable, celebrating the festivals, clothing, even language to some extent. Would you say that now, as your children grew up, the Indian culture around us, especially in New Jersey, where you raised them, was that more prevalent in the environment than when you were growing up in the suburbs of Boston?
I would say they definitely had more Indian people in their schools, for sure. Mm-hmm. Basking Ridge community has a huge Asian population. So I would say yes. But what was funny was, even though in Lexington at the time that I grew up, there weren't very many Indians, they were Indians in Boston. And my parents always brought them to our house. So it was a huge, every weekend we were doing Indian things and with Indian people and with other people too. And so I would say, yes, maybe in their classrooms and stuff, there was more presence. But as far as the actual interaction and the involvement of and doing things, I think I probably had more than they did.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Another tricky question for you. What, in your view, is the current stereotype of Indian Americans in this country? And do you think it has evolved in some way? And, you know, when we're talking about stereotypes, there's definitely caveats to that. But do the best that you can to answer this.
Yeah. I mean, growing up, some of the stereotypes I grew up with were everybody thought that people in India lived in cow dung shacks, right? And the Bindi, they always used to joke around, and I laughed at it. I never was offended by it, you know. And, you know, I was happy to educate people about some of the Indian stereotypes. The Bindi, they thought, was gateway to another dimension. They used to joke about. And even the food and the spices. And I remember somebody I knew, an American person, when I moved to Basking Ridge, would not go beyond the threshold of my house. And I always wondered why. And they're like, well, I don't like the Indian spices smell. But they had never tried Indian food. So then slowly I had them try. I was like, and they were like, wait, this is Indian food? This is so delicious. And it smells so good. So just certain stereotypes that are there, but either you can close the door when people act like that, right? And you can close the door on it and say, I'm offended. Or you can smile and, you know, give them a hug and say, hey, try this thing. Or just laugh it off and say, hey, you know what? That's really funny. But, you know, this is what it's really meant to be. So you can either embrace it, love it, and remove the ignorance or the misunderstanding, or you can just shut the door on it and forever let it perpetuate through society.
Very true. I completely agree with that. And now, 2023, how do you think how we are viewed as a community has evolved?
So I think as a community, I think we've just grown by leaps and bounds, first of all. I mean, Indian people are everywhere. It's like you turn on the TV and, you know, so many CEOs and presidents of companies and just also the community service that's done to improve their lives of people here, India, everywhere. The innovation that comes out of so many Indian people. And also I find assimilating with the American culture and appreciating it is there. So in so many ways, it's really come a long way. I think people have a real sense of being Indian, but they also have a real sense of being American and being part of the fabric of the American culture, which is wonderful.
Truly. I've heard you refer to the current phase of your life as the third act. What does that mean exactly? And how are you defining it for yourself?
So for third act for me is, and anybody can define it differently, but for me, it's what you do after you retire. I started working, I think as a teenager, was working in this yarn store called Wild and Woolly. And I was working in their basement doing their inventory. And that was my first paycheck. And it was so wonderful. And I've held many hats since then as a software engineer, instructional designer, training specialist, businesswoman, and now life coach and mentor. So it's been wonderful. And now I feel like in my retirement, I want to give back. And I've always been really passionate about empowering women. And for me, that is my passion. I've done it all my life. I've had two daughters, taught them to be empowered and strong. I'm so proud of that. And now I want to help other women wherever I can in their need do that. So for me, third act is really important because worked all my life, I've learned something. Now it's time to give back.
Evidently, you've recognized the opportunity that lies in this phase of your life, and you're ready to make the most of it. And that is exciting. And I can't wait to see you accomplish all of this that you aspire for. Before I let you go, what would you like the world to know about Indian culture that maybe isn't that obvious?
You know, the most obvious things are the fact, and most people know, is that Indian families and Indian people are super focused on family and education. Every single decision and goal in their life is focused on that, and it helps them make the right decisions for their families. What people don't know is that Indian people are also foodies, and they love foods. and they love Indian foods, which are very diverse. Every state in India has a different kind of food, but they love to try different kinds of foods all over the world. And they take those foods and they make them their own. Like they'll take Mexican food and they'll add more coriander to it, or they'll take Chinese food and they'll put red chilies in it, you know? But they love to try foods from everywhere, Italian food, you know, and they'll use some of the Indian vegetables to do the red sauce and the pastas and stuff. So, and mix turmeric with it, you know? So I love that because America is truly in a melting pot and Indian people are here and they love trying all this stuff. And I love to see all the stuff that comes out of it, but they're real foodies.
That is so true. Like you said, America is a melting pot. And wouldn't you say that we are changing what defines American culture just with the whole melting in and intermingling of it? And
absolutely. Totally agree.
That's the beauty of it. How wonderful this has been. I come out of these interviews even more proud of my Indian American heritage. Wow, Reena, this was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, I so appreciate this. This was a lot of fun. And I wish you all the best in this wonderful endeavor. This is so nice. And thank you.
Thank you.